Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, December the 15th, 2021. And we are in the midst of the holiday season. If my voice is a little hoarse this morning, it's because I called the big fruitcake toss last night. And we have the unofficial results of that this morning. And we'll get to that later on this morning. And you... It's fun. For all that we talked about leading into this event, this was a great, fun event last night. So we'll get to that later on this morning. Now, we're going to start the morning off with what is the thing everybody else is talking about, the weather. The weather, this cold, not this morning. This morning's not bad, and the last 2 days haven't been bad, but this November, December cold time we have had here in the Midwest, and a prediction was made that was pretty accurate just a few months ago, and that came from the Old Farmer's Almanac. So joining us this morning to kick off the program is Sarah Perrault, the senior editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Sarah, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing well. Good to speak with you. Now, before we get into this, senior editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, what does you do as a senior editor?
Oh, my goodness. What don't I do? So, it's true. I do a little bit of everything. So, I obviously do on-air interviews with people. Sometimes I write the articles. Sometimes I fact-check the articles. I very often am doing the photo research for the articles. I am the editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac for Kids, which is very exciting. I love working on that, and I'm working on that right now. I also write some of the calendars that we have, so I really do a little bit of everything.
Now, as far as this year's Old Farmer's Almanac, do we know what the sales have been like so far for the 2022 edition?
They are better than the previous year, so we always go by the previous year, and we're doing better, and I have to say that last year's sales were very good, so we're pretty happy and thankful to all our loyal readers.
In a time where magazines do not sell very well and so many magazines have went by the wayside, why do you think this particular magazine, Almanac, still sells well and is actually beating last year's sales?
I mean, you're absolutely right, because we're staying steady right now when a lot of magazines and newspapers are struggling. But I think a lot of times people see that familiar yellow cover and they remember it from childhood or at their grandparents' house, or maybe their parents had it, and they know that it's going to be good, clean fun. It's something they can look at all year long. I mean, it's got a calendar in there. We got sky highlights, recipes, a couple little jokes in there, and some mind manglers, as well as really informative articles. So, I mean, it's really a book that anybody can enjoy.
What is your favorite part of the Almanac?
Well, I have to say one of my other hats is as food editor, so I'm always very happy about the food section.
And it's do you have a favorite recipe?
Well, we had some prize-winning recipes in this one, and my favorite one was actually the second prize winner. I mean, they were all very good, but the second prize winner was easy latte truffles, and they are easy, and they are delicious.
Mm. Sounds very good. Well, Sarah, we had Ben on back in, I think he was back on in August or early September, and we talked about the winter that was about to come, and let's start with what was the prediction when the 2022 Almanac came out for the winter of 21-22?
Well, we're saying it's going to be a season of shivers. So your area of the country, we said that winter is going to be colder than normal, with some very cold periods in late December, then most of January, and again in early to mid-February. So I know, like you, we're having I wouldn't say a warm period, but we're having unseasonably high temperatures right now, but that's going to come to an end pretty soon. So enjoy it while you can.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because we came into October and it seemed like the temperatures were not going down at all. And then all of a sudden, one day, it was as if there was no autumn and it just got cold. And more or less, aside from a few warm days that got back up in the 60s, from late October until last week, we were having very cold temperatures.
Right, right. So that would have been left over from last year's prediction because this year starts with winter. So I do believe last year we predicted a little bit colder than normal for fall.
So
I think we're going to be on track for winter, which technically doesn't start until I believe it's Tuesday morning around 10 a.m. sometime.
So Tuesday morning, late December, it's going to be cold. Now, how cold is it going to be in this area?
Well, we do an average. So on average, your temperatures in December are going to be 4 degrees below normal, which isn't horrible, except that your average temperatures might be 20. So 16 degrees isn't great. And then throughout the rest of the winter, January temperatures are going to be about 7 degrees below normal. And then when you get to March, you're going to love March. March is about 7 degrees above normal.
Oh, that much better in March. Now, 7 degrees below normal in January, where does that put us at on average?
Let's see, on average in your area for January, your temperatures are usually average around 20.
Wow, 13 degrees.
Yeah, so that's much colder than normal.
Yeah, 13 degrees in January is, I think that's what they call bitterly cold.
Yes, and then there's always, I don't know about you, but here in New Hampshire, there's always that day where the temperature gets to be 40 and you go out and people are in their shorts and their sandals.
That's right. They're ready.
And I think,
they're,
you guys.
yeah. They're ready for spring at that point.
Right.
What do we know what's causing all this?
Well, right now we're dealing with a weak La Nina. And, of course, weather patterns are cyclical. So, you know, we look at the 30-year average. So we would go back and look and see what was going on 30 years ago and then factor in, you know, the meteorology and solar science of what's happening right now and kind of combine the whole thing. But there, you know, there's a warm phase in the Atlantic and the ocean, so there's a whole lot of things going on to cause what we're having for weather in the U.S. right now.
Now, does February stay pretty cold as well?
February is not as cold as the other months. February, I believe, was only about 2 degrees below average, but that's still below average, but not so bitterly cold.
So basically, this is going to start in late December and carry on through the beginning of February.
Yeah, and then March is going to come, and you guys are all going to get out your shorts and your sandals and your short sleeves and be excited.
Exactly. Now,
you're going to be shoveling in your flip-flops.
Well, that's the question. What does the snowfall look like in January?
Oh, in January specifically?
Yeah. Well, all winter. Give me all winter.
Okay, all winter. It looks like the majority of your area's snow is going to arrive in January, but early to mid-February, and then again, let's see, mid-March also looks pretty snowy. So, yeah, January is your month if you love winter and you're living in Ohio.
Now, does January look like a lot of precipitation, snowfall?
It's a little bit above average, not a huge amount, but if you have a little bit of snow all month long, that doesn't average out to be really high above normal, but above normal for what you would normally expect.
What is the average snowfall in this area for January?
That I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
So
I'm sorry, my brain doesn't carry that kind of information. I'm so sorry.
No. But this will be a little above what we normally get.
Yeah, you're going to have a little bit more snow than you're used to, but I assume you're used to snow.
We are used to snow.
Yeah. Now, so you can have a little bit extra.
Now, in December, it's been strange because we have had a Christmas a few years ago where it was 70 degrees, and then I think the following year we had a Christmas where on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, it snowed something like 7 or 8 inches. Now, last year, again on Christmas Eve, the snow fell. I remember being out picking up somebody. Are we going to have a white Christmas this year?
It does look that way because I'm looking at the forecast and it says from the 21st to the 24th, snow showers and very cold, and then on the 25th through the 31st, snowy periods and cold. So it looks like you will have a white Christmas.
White Christmas and a very cold Christmas, apparently.
Yes. So buckle
up. So where do the temperatures, what range do they fall in December in this area?
Again, as we said, it's going to be about 4 degrees below average. So whatever you would normally expect, which I believe is around 28, It's going to be, I mean, certainly not every day. It's not going to be the same temperature every day, but on average, about 4 degrees below.
When we have a cold winter like this, does it normally impact a lot of things?
Well, so it's good for the plants because the plants are getting insulated and your grass is getting insulated. So that's usually good, especially if spring comes along and it's a little bit drier than normal. You've got that good melting and you've got the insulation. So, I mean, it's not the worst for plants. And there are some, you know, animals that need cold and snow and be able to camouflage. So,
now, what is the accuracy over the years of the Old Farmer's Almanac?
We do have a traditional accuracy rate of about 80%. We do crunch the numbers every year. I think people think we just say 80%. But and last year we were just slightly below average. We were only 75% accurate for last winter's forecast. But that's still not so bad.
Now, as we go into winter here next week, is there ever any trepidation on anybody's part there that, what if the weather's warm in this area or cold in this area when it's not supposed to be?
Well, we usually hear from people. People will contact us through our website and let us know. And, you know, we try to answer everybody's question. And sometimes, you know, something shows up in the forecast that we didn't know about when we put our book out. I mean, the book was printed in June and July. So there are things that pop up that we weren't aware of. But we usually try to explain them and offer, you know, some sort of assurance, you know. But hold on, maybe, you know, things will turn. So it happens. We know it happens, and that's what affects our accuracy rate, too.
Has there ever been a great variation, like 20 degrees one way or another, from where it's supposed to be, the average?
I've been here for 18 years, and I haven't seen that big. But I'm sure there has been over the years. We've been keeping these records for 230 years, so I bet you there has to have been.
Well, it's interesting because we watch our meteorologists on television, and a lot of people obviously go to the Old Farmer's Almanac, and what we're really talking about day to day is pretty much just a few degrees difference from year to year.
That's true, but then as the planet's warming up, those numbers are changing at a kind of scary rate. We read a lot about, you know, everything that's melting, and if we don't make changes, and how much warmer the ocean's getting, and, you know, we don't really want the ocean to get too much warmer. A few degrees can make a big difference.
You know, it's very interesting, Sarah. A few years ago on, I believe we had a climatologist on, and I don't think people, because it's been turned into a political event, global warming, that we are really fastly, I remember her telling me, that we are very quickly getting to a point that if we don't change something, this bell cannot be unrung, that it will happen. It used to be said, I'll never see it in my lifetime. Well, it's my understanding that we're talking within this decade, if something doesn't change, we could have big problems, and we're already seeing the effects of that.
Yeah, we've been reading the studies, and I actually feel like I have young children, and I'm thinking, this is going to be something that's going to greatly affect my children when they, you know, they get to be my age, and they're adults, and they're having children, and their children, oh boy, I hope they come up with something great to change the course of what we all did ahead of them.
Now, in 2021, what is happening? What is changing that is causing this?
Oh, I think people just, you know, everybody's living for themselves, and people need to really start to think about alternative energies and things like that. Solar panels are fantastic. I myself have them, and I don't know why I waited so long to get them. They're great. Cars are available not too expensively that don't use all gas. I mean, we all need to make some sort of small change. We can't just depend on other people to make the changes.
Are you surprised that people, this is certainly not the number one story on the evening news every night?
I think with everything else that's going on in the world right now, I'm not too surprised that it's not the number one story, but it should be a story, maybe not the first one, because we've got an even bigger problem that we're dealing with, but, you know, it is something that we need to talk about, and I'm not sure, I think you're right, people think it's political, so they don't want to touch it, but we really do need to start talking about it.
And for people who really don't understand the problem, because I think that's one of the problems when it is mentioned, they say what could happen, and they talk about the time frame, and sometimes they do talk about the politics of it, but they never really say what is happening now that is changing things. So what is happening?
The urban heat islands are getting hotter than ever, and those are places like New York and Boston, the places where you just get wall-to-wall buildings. So they're warming the earth way faster than they should be, because you've got so many people in these small areas, so that's not helping. And people just really aren't doing their part. And we're warming the earth so much faster, it's scary. It really is scary. So, and that has an effect of what's going on in the weather, and that has an effect of, you know, everything melting, even though we don't see it because it's so far away from us. You can go online and see, you know, the water and the glaciers, they're breaking apart, and it's just so scary.
When it comes to a winter like we're about to have, that is going to be colder than average in this area, I think that's one of the problems that people have when it comes to maybe even the term global warming. How can we be having a colder winter when this warming is going on?
Right. I love those signs where, there's 6 feet of snow, and then they've got a sign right next to it that says global warming with a question mark. It is cyclical. So, I mean, the weather does change over a 30-year period, so even though we're certainly not going to have the same weather that we had 30 years ago because of what else is going on, 30 years ago it was colder than normal. So it's going to be colder than normal, but certainly not as cold as they were having it 30 years ago because of all the other things that are going on with the gases and the solar science.
What are some important things to remember as we head into this colder than average winter, at least December and January, that will keep people safe?
Oh, I think we just need to be smart. I mean, if you're going out, you certainly should bundle up. Even if you're just going to be in your car the whole time, make sure you've got something in your trunk, extra, you know, extra socks, extra gloves, extra things, just in case it gets very cold and you get stuck or you run off the road because of snow. I mean, we just need to be safe.
Mm. Now, do you enjoy the cold weather?
No, I do not. And I live in New Hampshire, and I'm in the wrong place.
Exactly. You know, this, everybody seems to be okay with it. They want a white Christmas. The temperatures don't seem to deter people from going to the stores and the holiday parties in December. But when it comes to January, no matter where you live, if it's a cold climate, people seem to be over it.
Yeah, I think they like it for the atmosphere for Christmas. You know, it's supposed to be snowy. It's supposed to be cold. And you're supposed to have your warm mug of hot cocoa, you know. And then January comes and they're like, oh, geez. Okay, I had enough. Let's be done with this. But the good news is this year, maybe it'll only last till the end of February, and then March we'll be able to warm up a little bit.
So we have about 2 minutes left here, Sarah. So kind of give us a recap again through winter, which starts next week, and goes and take us through spring.
Sure. Okay, so winter in your area is going to be colder than normal, and you're going to have extremely cold periods in late December, quite a bit of January, and then again in early to mid-February. And let's see, if we want to get into the spring, spring is going to be much warmer, but drier than normal. And then summer, let's get summer in there because, you know, it's cold. Don't you want to think about warm stuff? Summer is going to be warmer and slightly rainier than normal.
Mm.
That might not be such a bad deal because if it's not rainy in the spring, you need the water for your plants and all the things you're trying to grow in the summer. So
yeah.
Not the worst news.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Old Farmer's Almanac, how can people get it?
You can find the Old Farmer's Almanac with the familiar yellow cover, big red digits across the front that say 2022. Anywhere books and magazines are sold, hardware store, grocery store, anywhere you go. It's always available at both almanac.com and amazon.com.
Sarah, it's great talking with you. I hope you have the best holiday season, and I guess we'll get ready for the cold weather.
Yes, they bundle up.
Hey, thanks, Sarah. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
Sarah Perrault, Senior Editor at the Old Farmer's Almanac. So there you go. There's the update weather-wise. Here comes the cold temperatures. And yeah, next week, can you believe that? Next week will be the first day of winter, shortest day of the year, daylight hour-wise. And apparently it's going to be cold. And possibly a white Christmas this year. And January, a very cold month. What was it, 7 degrees below average in January? Well, what can you do? All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, I want to bring something up before we get to the fruitcake toss. Kind of unpleasant, but you know, we're getting to the point now where this unpleasantness is happening every morning. Now, this will be day 3. I pull into McDonald's on Route 95 this morning, and I thought, uh-oh, it's a good sign this morning. It's truck day, and the cars seem to be lined up around McDonald's this morning. And I thought, well, I bet the fountain drink machine is fixed. So I wait probably 5 to 10 minutes to get up to the window. And I get up to the window, and the first thing the lady says before we even get off the ground is she says, "Sorry, no fountain drinks." Now, there was a couple sitting inside that I could see as I was waiting to go through the line that was sitting inside the restaurant. Now, it looked like they had a fountain drink. To be honest with you, I don't know if it was a fountain drink or not. It was something with a straw in it. Now, maybe they've got the frappe machine fixed. Maybe that is what I saw. But I don't know what's going on there. I did ask the girl today. I said, do you know how long this is going to be down? This is day 3. Nobody knows. She didn't know. Had no clue. So, I did drive over to Main Street this morning so I could get a fountain drink. Because really, I did not want to go to Wendy's or Burger King again. There's something different about their fountain drinks there that just do not taste the same. But this is not a good holiday thing. This is not something you want to have good. This is not something good you want to have happen in the holiday time. Have your fountain drink machine break down. And I've said it the 2 previous days. You're a billion-dollar company. Billion with a B. You have 2 other locations in town. Their machines seem to be working. The one on Main Street was working this morning. Now, 3 days, fastly approaching 4 days, because I assume this broke on Sunday, because it was broken on Monday morning when I went through there. How in the world do you not have this fixed and have any idea when you're going to have it fixed? I imagine this is one of their big sellers. Does anybody know anything about this? Does anybody know why the machine is down or why they can't get a part? Now, one day I was willing to kind of give them a pass, but at this point, they can't get a technician out there. They can't get somebody from McDonald's Corporation to come in and buy them a new machine. They would rather have their machine down for 3 days. See, this is unpleasantness in the holidays. What in the world is going on? It's just shocking to me that in the technological age that we live in now, where you can order stuff on the internet and have it shipped overnight, that you can have a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar chain in which you can have a machine go down. And by the way, not just for me who likes the fountain drinks, but anybody who orders a value meal at McDonald's usually gets a drink. So, I don't know what they're doing as far as that goes. Are they discounting value meals? I have no idea. But this has now been going on for 3+ days. 3+ days, and the employees there have no idea when this is going to be fixed. Now, where's the chain of command in this? Does anybody have any news on this? I'm sure a lot of people have been to the McDonald's on 95 since this all started on Monday. Are they discounting things, value meals? Have they given you any update as to when the fountain drink machine will be back up? If somebody wants to call out there and ask them what's going on and possibly get a better answer than I got, feel free. Call the Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion Mount Gilead Road, Route 95, whatever you want to call it, McDonald's, and let us know what is wrong with the fountain drink machine and when it's going to be fixed. It clearly has nothing to do with the water, because Burger King and Wendy's are operating just fine on Route 95. It clearly has nothing to do with the McDonald's Corporation, because the Main Street McDonald's has the drinks. I don't know what's going on out there on Route 95. Does anybody have any updates on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I have to do all of that before I move now to the fruitcake toss. What a great time we had last night. Could not have been better weather. Could not have had better weather for this event last night. It was truly perfect. We had no wind. Winds were about 6 miles per hour, which is pretty much no wind. And we set up here on South Prospect Street. We set up from our driveway to the next drive, which was 60 feet. And going into last night's fruitcake toss, we had a record of 40 feet as far as the fruitcake was thrown, a Claxton fruitcake. And that was thrown by Ralph Thacker. Now, last night, we had, let's see how many people we ended up having in the competition. I'm going to look through the list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 19 people ended up showing last night. I think of the 22 or 21 we had in, but 19 were there last night. And we had some great throws. Scott, one of our longtime listeners, opened it up with a 50-foot right off the bat. 50-foot right off the bat. Broke the record of 40-foot that had been set previously by Ralph Thacker. But then here came Ralph two throws later. Broke his record. Went up to 61 feet last night. Ralph tossed that Claxton fruitcake 61 feet. Now, Pastor Craig, who had been doing a lot of preparation for this, I think Ralph and Pastor Craig probably did the most preparation. Pastor Craig got up and threw for 59 feet. 59 feet. So we got to give it to Ralph. Ralph did throw 2 feet further than Pastor Craig. But in the little side war that was going on between Pastor Craig and Adam, Pastor Craig took it hands down, so I think he did psych Adam out, which we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Pastor Craig threw for 59 feet. Adam threw for 30 feet. Now, the average on this was well above 30 feet. We had James Anderson. James Anderson, our naturalist, actually came in second place at 62 feet, just edging out Ralph Thacker at 61. James Anderson threw for 62, but then, interestingly enough, a lot of people had their money on Mike McGinnis, the gentleman from My 600-Pound Life, who, 6'8", 500-and-something pounds, former football player, and I always said, you know, size really does not matter here. Size and strength. And Mike McGinnis, I think, proved this. He had a great throw, but only 59 feet. So James Anderson threw further than Mike. Ralph Thacker threw further than Mike. Pastor Craig tied Mike. And that's how it all broke down last night. So the top three were... Well, I haven't even told you who won the thing last night. Donovan Bauer, who I did not know. Donovan Bauer, who is the grandson of Reverend David Lippert, showed up last night. Now, this kid was a stick figure. Lucky if he weighs 130, 140 pounds soaking wet. He works at Donato's here in Marion. 24 years old. He walked up, and he tossed this fruitcake 72 feet. 72 feet, which is the new record. Now, as I said, from driveway to driveway was 60 foot. We did not think anybody would throw past 60 foot. Now, Ralph Thacker and James Anderson just got over the 60 foot mark. 61 feet for Ralph Thacker, 62 feet for James Anderson. Everybody else fell short of 60 feet. And that's pretty much what we thought would happen. This kid threw 72 feet. He was 10 feet above second place. 10 feet! This fruitcake went up, it traveled over the next driveway, went over the tree, and landed 72 feet. to our winner, Donovan Bauer. What a shot it was. Now, we had some other great throws last night. Santa Claus threw for 55 feet. Bob Smith, Marion Area Transit, got 57 feet. What were some of the other good throws last night? There were a few. I threw for 52 feet. Angie Evers had 40. We had a substitution last night. Autumn stepped in for Judy Smith and got 21 feet. Autumn, a great kid last night, 21 feet. And a lot of you are asking, again, age and stage in life. Well, the youngest person in the competition last night was 8-year-old Lily Smith. And it was a lot of fun to meet Lily, and she got to meet Santa Claus, and we did give Lily a prize last night for tickets to the Columbus Zoo. But 8-year-old Lily Smith threw for 46 feet, which means 8-year-old Lily threw further. Now, here's the people she threw further than. She threw further than Linda Sims. Linda Sims got 38 feet. She threw further than April Morrison, the mayor of Caledonia, 24 feet. She threw further than Autumn, who had 21 feet, Judy Smith's alternate. She threw further than Mayor Kellogg, which I'm going to get to in a second. She threw further than Angie Evers, who had 40. She came close to where she came within 4 feet of me. At 6 feet of me. I was only at 52. And she threw, now mark this down, 8-year-old Lily Smith threw 16 feet further than Adam. Adam, who was pumping up for this event, gonna win it. 8-year-old Lily Smith threw 16 feet further than Adam. So age did not matter. And Mayor Jack Kellogg, who was an absolute sport, showed up last night, I believe the oldest person in the competition, at 85, soon to be 86 years old. Mayor Kellogg stepped in and threw last night. He certainly was not last place. Mayor Kellogg stepped up and threw 43 feet. 43 feet. So he beat out a lot of, well, he threw 13 feet further than Adam did. So there are your official standings. It was something to behold. But everybody was a great sport, and it was a lot of fun. Now, anybody who was here or anybody in the competition who would like to give their thoughts on this, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you. We had a lot of fun, and I think this event will only grow in popularity as time goes on. And we had a lot of great people in the audience out here last night. Mike McGinnis's family showed up. Jeannie Evers was out here. And I do have to thank Angie Evers for preparing all the baked goods last night that she gave to the crowd. I do want to thank Pastor Craig for bringing the meat and cheese tray that I know a lot of people enjoyed and had some good food. It was fun. And the winner, by the way, Donovan Bauer, got 8 passes to the Columbus Zoo. He got a certificate as being the 2021 Fruitcake Chucker Champion. He got a fruitcake. We gave him a Claxton fruitcake. And we also gave him a picture of Charlie Evers eating a fruitcake. Because the arguments between Charlie and I over fruitcake is where this all started. Go ahead, caller.
Well, Scott, I call McDonald's. Got the scoop for you.
All right, what's the scoop? Well, boy, I hope it's good news.
Well, it's been booked down now for 3 days.
Three OLAPs, I know that.
And something, the lines freeze up on it. And it quits working, and it sprays out and just makes a mess.
So the lines are frozen.
That freeze up on inside the machine.
Okay.
Somehow. I don't know. But they had somebody out yesterday, 3 different times, and they said it was fixed, and then it wasn't fixed. Later it started doing it again. So they're coming back out again today. So they can't figure out why it keeps doing it.
Well, at 3 days, a multi-billion dollar company, and clearly 3 times they get a visit from the technician, at this point, shouldn't they just get a new machine in there?
Yeah, I think I would.
I mean, it's not like you're a company that is pinching pennies.
I think it would be cheaper in the long haul, don't you, rather than keep paying to have somebody come out?
Well, I mean, let's just say this. How many people, now all fountain drinks there are a dollar. Now, during the course, they're open 24 hours. During the course of 24 hours, how many pops do you think they sell?
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, I bet they sell at least in 24 hours, probably between 300 and 500 pops.
This is not summer, but you got a lot of people out for the holiday shopping.
Right. So let's say 300. Let's go to the low end and say in 24 hours they sell 300. Well, let's do it this way. How many do you think they sell an hour? At least 60, at least one a minute, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I'd say 100 of them.
100 an hour?
Yeah.
Okay, so 100 an hour, so we're talking about 2,400 in a day. That would be how many they sell, 24. So that means over the course of the last 3 days, they have not sold, because they have not had fountain drinks, they have not sold 7,200 pops. So that's $7,200 that they have lost. $7,200. Now, do you think this machine costs $7,200?
It easily could.
Well, how much do you think the machine costs?
I mean, they're using the machine, normally it's specific to their operation.
Right, but I doubt the machine.
Things cost them a little bit more sometimes.
I'll say the machine costs $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've already lost $7,200 and paid a technician three times and apparently four to come out. So they've already lost what the machine would have cost. And the longer they stay down...
And this ain't the first time this happened either.
Well, no, and I don't understand why the technician keeps coming out three different times and they're going to bring him out again if clearly he is not fixing the problem.
Yeah, I think I would get somebody else, but...
They can't...
They're probably not going to pay him unless... All three times he come out.
Well, but what about the McDonald's truck is there this morning. They can't rent a machine or use one while this is being fixed?
I think McDonald's would have certain places that work on them. And, you know, those guys should have people to call, you know, that maybe somebody has ran across this problem before, you know. You know, instead of calling a different person every time, you know, you have the same people work on it. You know, they know a little bit about the problem.
Well, if we know the problem, they clearly know the problem. The lines are freezing up. Why not just replace the lines?
And she says cold back there where the thing says. Well, put a little heater back there or something.
I mean, why not just pull the lines off?
I don't know.
Aside from that, I'm glad you called, and hopefully tomorrow morning...
They're not blaming it on, you know, supply, you know.
Well, it's not the employees' fault. I'm not saying anything about the employees. This is clearly...
There's been big demand for certain things that you can't get, and, you know, a lot of companies do blame that on it, when, you know, when they're out.
Well, I just think that this is a corporate problem. This has nothing to do with the local employees. This just seems like far more of a corporate problem. But regardless, thank you for calling, and hopefully tomorrow morning, by day four, I will have a fountain drink here. I won't have to drive over to Main Street to get it. By the way, when I was over at Main Street this morning, the line moved pretty fast, but it was funny because I was sitting in the Main Street drive-thru, and this lady pulls up to me right as I'm about to get my drink, and she says, roll down your window, and I rolled down my window, and the lady says, they didn't give me my food, and I don't want to wait in the line. Can I sneak in here and front of you? So they got their problems on Main Street as well.
Yeah.
But in any event, did you listen to the fruitcake toss last night?
Yeah, I did.
I thought the broadcast sounded great.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Literally did 46 feet.
46 feet. I mean, now see, and I kept trying to tell people over and over and over that really age and size have nothing to do with this, because certainly the biggest person did not win, and I don't even think the strongest person won.
Well, I hope Adam's out there listening. He needs to call in and tell us exactly what went wrong, because he was going to win that, you know.
Well, he didn't even come close to winning that. Lily outthrew him. Lily outthrew him by 16 feet, and that's no joke.
Yep.
I mean, now, it, Adam tried to give an excuse as soon as it happened. Now, it did hook left, which I really didn't understand that either. Now, some people's hooked left, like Angie's hooked left a little bit. April Morrison's hooked left a little bit. But,
well, if you throw it with a little spin, it's going to hook, you know, that way.
Yeah, but even at a left hook, Angie still got 40 feet. And April Morrison, with a left hook, mayor of Caledonia, she got 24 feet. I'll tell you, April's issue was hers went up high. She got the height. She got a lot of height, and she got some hook. And that's what happened with April's.
Some people tried to roll it a lot, didn't they?
Well, a few people did try to roll it, which I told them fruitcakes don't roll very well. I think that's what happened. Well, Mike, who I really thought would, Mike McGinnis, I really thought that he would come in better than a tie for third. You know, Mike and Pastor Craig both threw. Well, no, he wasn't even in the top three. He was fourth. He was tied for fourth with Pastor Craig. The top three, Donovan Bauer, 72. Number two was James Anderson, who snuck in there, was 62. And Ralph Thacker had 61. So those were your top three. So tied for fourth was Mike McGinnis and Pastor Craig. So, you know, Mike, who was probably the biggest person there last night, and he was even doing a little practicing with a rock before the event got started, still could not get out of fourth place.
Yeah, but rock's going to roll a little bit better than that fruitcake.
Well, he wasn't throwing the rock any further than, I mean, I was out there when he was throwing the rock. He wasn't getting to 60 feet. 60 feet is a long way to throw a fruitcake. People, I don't think, understood that. Ralph just got over it at 61, and James just got over it at 62. Now, Donovan, 72 foot.
Did everybody throw the same fruitcake?
Same fruitcake. It never broke. I tried to tell people it wouldn't break. It's a Claxton.
Yeah, that's amazing. It never broke.
No, and it flew 72 feet. But I don't know what Donovan did. Donovan, it works at Donato's, so if anybody sees Donovan over at Donato's, say congratulations to him. But Donovan stood where everybody else stood. He got one underhanded throw. He was only in this because his grandfather put him in it. He was 24 years of age, and this thing went 72 feet. 72 feet. I never would have dreamed anybody could have gotten over 60, let alone 70.
Yeah, that was good.
It was something.
I would think more like 40-some feet was going to do it. But.
Well, you know, I think people like Ralph and people like Pastor Craig and people like Mike McGinnis and people of that nature practiced. So, you know, they got it up over 40 foot, over 50 foot. But some people, I just don't know.
Well, at least you had a pretty good turnout.
We did. We had a lot of fun, good turnout. Mayor Kellogg was great. Lily was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Hey, thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here. We've got a little bit of time before the break. Anybody want to call in and give us a thought on the big fruitcake toss, the event of a lifetime that happened last night? All right, let's go to the phones here on WWGH Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. I listened to your broadcast, and I think only one of the people I called showed up.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that next hour. There's a reason that some of that went on, and I want to bring that up. But Mayor Kellogg was there. You called Mayor Kellogg, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Mayor Kellogg was there. Now, we're going to go to break here, but stay tuned next hour, and I'll tell you what happened with some of the people who didn't show up.
Okay, and then I'd like to know who won that contest. But I thought we were guessing Santa Claus, but it was Ted Williams, his favorite stuff. I never did hear who won that.
It was who did win that on Friday?
If you want to broadcast it the next time, that's fine.
Oh yeah, okay, after the hour, call me again and ask me that.
Okay, then goodbye.
Bye bye. All right, we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Good year. It's been a good year, and we're going to roll into the, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, Mary Ellen Withrow.
Dear Editor, I'm 8 years old.